Welcome to another episode of DRH Ministries Living in Victory podcast. Our prayer is that as you listen and receive the word of God, that your life is changed and that you're positioned to live life in victory. Let's join Pastor Dennis Hebert for today's message already in progress.
Fish is to really follow. That if you're really going to follow Jesus, what happens is he converts, he equips, he develops you into being a fisherman for him. That he allows his impression upon you to be so great and so powerful that you can't help but tell other people about it. And so we've been looking at that from the New Testament perspective, but today I want to look at it from the Old Testament perspective. Because when you really study the word of the Lord, you'll find out that the Old and the New Testament are so magically woven together, that they're interconnected, Leanne. And what happens is the things in the Old Testament, even though it happened years and years and thousands of years before the New Testament was ever written, the sovereignty of God, as he was speaking thousands of years before, he was speaking about types and shadows of things that would happen in the New Testament. Are you following what I'm saying? So when he wrote the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament is a sign of what Jesus would fulfill in the New Testament. And it's a wonderful book and a wonderful expression of love. And that's what we see here in this text in 2 Kings chapter number 7. We see, watch this, we see a prophetic story, even though it was a real story, we see a prophetic story of the life of every believer that's in this room. Let me break it down for you, and then we'll pray and go home. The first thing I want you to understand about this text is I want you to notice the desperation. The desperation. Everybody in the church say the desperation. Because when you get some background about 2 Kings 7, you understand this one thing, that there was a famine going on in the land. That there was a famine. And the Bible gives several stories about famines. There were famine. There was this recession going on. And this is one of these recessions. And this was a real bad recession, y'all. This recession was so bad that the people didn't have anything to eat, that they had resulted into eating dove's dung. Dove's dung. Y'all follow dove's. I ain't got to say the real thing, do I? Y'all looking at me like, yeah, dove's droppings. You follow me? Don't make me do it. Dove's droppings. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Just shake your head. Amen. If you're still alive and got a pulse. Amen. Yeah. Dove's dung. Dove's dropping. And so, listen, this is how bad it was, that they had to stop eating doves and they had to start eating the droppings of the dove. It was a desperate time. Read it in chapter number 6. Not only were they eating dove's dung, but they had also resorted to cannibalism. They were eating people. Now, that's gross, I know. Because in chapter number 6, read it, a conversation is taking place. And actually, the prophet had to be a judge in one of these matters, because it got so bad that a lady told another lady, look, this is what we're going to do. Today, we're going to borrow your son. And we're going to eat your son today. It was a hard famine. You think we in a recession right now. This was something. They said, we're going to eat your son today. And tomorrow we're gonna eat my son. So the first lady said, okay, the lady said, we're gonna survive. They boiled the child, they ate the child. The next day, the lady said, okay, now it's time to boil your child. She said, I ain't acquiescing to that. Amen. I ain't gonna do that. She got took. Amen. And so it got that bad. And I believe there's a revelation in that, because you gotta be careful. Hear this, how I say this, when you're hanging around desperate people. Now, that ain't part of my message, but I can preach on that. Because desperate people will result to desperate measures. That when people that you are around, when they are desperate, they'll start reaching for stuff that ain't there. And you got to be careful, church, when you're in relationships with people that are desperate, because desperate people result to cannibalism. You're going to get that in its fullness on Thursday. That what they have to do, they think when they're desperate that they got to eat you in order for them to survive. That they got to take you out in order for them to look good. You got to be careful of desperate people, especially when you're working around them and things get tight on a job, because what happens is they'll throw you under the bus so they can look good. Come on, we got some desperate people in the church that watch this. They don't know who they are in God, so they got to tear other people down in order for them to look so holy, so pious, and so righteous. You got to be careful when you're around desperate people, because desperate people are dangerous. See, and desperate people are dangerous because this was a desperate, desperate time. Not only was it desperate because of this economic recession that they were in, but they were in this sort of moral recession as well, because they had this group of folks called lepers. Everybody say they're lepers. Amen. And I know we don't really understand that in our Western society about lepers, because this is not something that we have to deal with. But a few years ago in 2006, when we were over in Africa, we were able to tour leper colonies. Because back then they didn't understand what to do with people who had leprosy, because their modern medicine hadn't produced a cure or some type of regimen of prescription for people who had leprosy. They said, you know what, since we don't know what to do with you, we're going to put you on the outside of the camp. You can't come in here with all the rest of us clean folks, because you are too dirty and you're scratching all the time and you're always itching and your skin is flaking and so forth, because you are a leper. Yeah, I'll teach on that, Holy Ghost. Because when you had leprosy, what leprosy did was it attacked your skin cells, and it produced this flakiness on your skin, and it can even attach the lining of your throat, because lepers couldn't even talk that well. That sometimes when you was a leper, you kind of talk like this because the lining of your esophagus had all of these different things on it, and it hurt when you talk, so they didn't even talk right. And so if they were a leper, it was hard to understand where they were because they was dealing with so much and it was going on in their lives. And so because people didn't understand what they were going through, and because they didn't identify with what they were dealing with, what they did was they said, you stay on the outside of the camp. They quarantined them. And it wasn't just the medical community, it was the religious community as well. They said that you must be cursed, that something must be wrong with you, that you suffering with that, because I don't suffer with it. And so because I don't suffer with it and I can't identify with your issue, I'm going to put you on the outside. I'm going to say you're unclean and you're not fit to come in with everybody else, because you're struggling and itching with something that everybody else is not struggling and itching with. See, you got to be careful, because watch this. When people are not dealing with what you're dealing with, they can't identify with you. They can't identify you. And when they can't identify with you, you know what they do? They put you on the outside. They label you as an outcast, a misfit, somebody that can't fit in, because they don't have what you have. And I want you to know today, if you're here today and you're itching, you got a scratch, you got something that you're dealing with, here in this text, the leper is symbolic to the sinner. And all of us in here today, there's something that we're scratching about. I don't know what it is that's producing your itch, but all of us got an itch, and from time to time we tend to scratch it, because it's natural that when something is itching on you that you scratch it. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing, but I know I'm preaching real good right now. There's somebody in here today, you trying to control yourself, but there's a little itch on you that you have to scratch from time to time. So they put him on the outside of the camp. They told him, you can't come in here with us clean folks, because us clean folks, you know, we don't want to be contaminated with that spirit. Preach, Pastor. I'm doing the best I can. I'm preaching already. Y'all don't know it yet, but I'm preaching already. And so watch this. See, if we're going to be real fishers of men, we're going to have to learn that compassion is a big component to fishing. Because there's some people that God is going to allow you to fish that they're going to have some itches. I don't know if you know it or not, but fish are not ready to be eaten when they're in the water. Because when they're in the water, they're slimy, they're dirty, they're scaly, their fins are still on, they haven't been cleaned or sanctified yet. And so watch this. If we judge them while they're in the water, we can be guilty of passing by a good fish. Oh boy, because some of us, watch this, we see people in their unprepared state and we declare that they are not fit to be in the kingdom of God, when God don't look at the outward appearance, but he looks at a man's heart. And so when God looks at your heart, he sees you already scaled. He sees you already filleted. He sees you already clean and out of the water, meet for the master's use and prepare for every good and holy work. But I ain't going to stay right there. But all of us in here today, we were fish at one time. Look at your name and say, I was a fish, I was a fish, I was a fish. And tell him, I still got some stuff on me right now that I ain't ready to be eaten just yet. I ain't ready to be given to Jesus as the bride of the church just yet, because he's still working on me. See, and these lepers were considered unclean. And read it there in Leviticus in the law, that if you was a leper, you had to announce to everybody. It's almost like being a pedophile who have to put the sign in their yard. You had to cover your lip and say, unclean, unclean. You got to let everybody know that you're struggling with something when everybody is struggling with one thing or another. It was a desperate time. And anytime people are going through desperate times, they resort to desperate measures. I don't just want you to see the desperation, but I want you to see the discovery that's here also. Because there's a discovery that takes place. It's not just the desperation, because it was so bad that the same folks that kicked them out of the camp start experiencing hard times as well. Boy, you got to be careful how you judge people when they scratching. You got to be careful how you judge people when they dealing with something that you're not dealing with. Because here it was the same folks that kicked the lepers out of the camp, set up the rules and all of this spiritual foolishness about they couldn't come into the company of other people, that now hard times hit and they found out, no, it ain't a curse just because I'm going through, but life happens to everybody. So you got to be careful, because the folks that kicked you out today may need you tomorrow. I'm trying to help somebody right there. The folks that you're declaring and labeling unclean today, you may be dependent on them to save your life tomorrow. And so these lepers were on the outside of the camp, and they had to make a decision. They had to make a decision. I want you to see this. I'll read it to you in verse number 3, and they'll put it up on the screen so you can see it. Look what they said. Now the Bible says, now there were 4 lepers. How many?
Four
leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, look what they said, why are we sitting here till we die? When are we going to do something to change our condition? Why is it that year after year and week after week and month after month we are experiencing the same old stuff, staying in the spot that people done put us in? They say, we have a decision to make, that either we're going to stay here and we know we're going to die, or we're going to go back into the camp where they told us we're not going to go, and they may keep us alive. At least we're alive. If they kill us, all we're going to do is die. They didn't have nothing to lose. And there's somebody in here today, the Lord is saying to you, why are you going to sit where you are in life until you die? That it's time for you to bust a move. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time for you to bust a move. Yeah, you tell them, you've been sitting in that spot for far too long. It's time for you to do something. That's what he says, it's time for you now. You got to do something. And the Bible says, they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go into the enemy's camp. That's what we're going to do. And you know what? We don't know what's going to happen, because we're in a desperate position. And sometimes, believers, God will put us in desperate positions. Yeah, you can look like you got it all together today, but there's some folks in here right now, they desperate, because they just like these lepers. They say, Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Yeah, because all your reserves have diminished. All of the stuff that you had stocked up for a rainy day is gone now. You're in the midst of a famine, and I ain't just talking about an economic famine, but I'm talking about a relational famine, a familiar famine. I'm talking about an emotional famine. And they said, now we have to get up and go into the camp and trust that God is going to provide. And when you're in that position, God has you right where he wants you. Because he says, living this Christian life, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to live by faith. For the just shall live by faith. Notice their discovery, though, because the Bible says when they made it up in their mind that they were going to trust God, that they was going to take him at his word. You told us you was going to provide for us, God. We're going to do the thing that doesn't look logical. We're going to go in the place where we're not supposed to be. The Bible says they got up. And they started going into the enemy's camp. Hallelujah. And as they were coming into the enemy's camp, the Bible says the people that they thought was their enemies and that they were afraid of, God made them afraid of the lepers. Which means God says, whenever you trust me, whenever you take me at my word, I'm going to fight all of your battles. Boy, that's a revelation for somebody in this room today. Because I don't know what it is that you're fighting, but when you step out in faith, you don't even have to fight your battle. The Bible I read says if you just hold your peace, God will fight that thing for you. And some of you right now, if you would just get in faith for whatever it is you're fighting for, God will go ahead and do the dirty work for you. God will go ahead before you get there and touch folks, watch this, that you didn't think was going to bless you, and let them be a blessing for you, and you ain't going to do nothing but obey God in the process. Because watch this, it wasn't their friends that blessed them, it was their foes that blessed them. And some of you need to understand right now that your enemy don't have no control over your life. God is saying, I'll use the same folk that talked about you, the same folk that ran your name in the mud, the same folk that didn't want to open the door to give you the job, I'll use them to be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. That's why you got to speak to everybody. Right now, in this season, you can't let enough bitterness get in your heart where you are harboring iniquity against your brother or against your sister. You got to say, God, I'm believing you to do so much in my life that I love folks that don't mean me no good. I love folks that I know is not on my side. Why? Because you'll use them same folk to open up doors for you. David said he'll prepare a table for me right in the presence of my enemies. Watch this now. The Bible says, watch this, that as they are coming to the camp, they are expecting some resistance. They are expecting, watch this, some pushback. But when they got to the camp expecting to see the enemy, there was no enemy. There was no resistance. Golly, touch your neighbor right now. The Lord just gave me this. I ain't say this in the last service, but this is for somebody that's in this room right now. Tell them you're getting ready for sweatless victories. Boy, I don't know who that is for right now. That for the first 6 months, you've been struggling with this thing. You've been trying to keep that thing under control. But God says, you're about to get ready for some sweatless victories. Some stuff that's going to start popping off in your life. Because God says, you're trusting me by faith. Hallelujah. And sit down. So these lepers. How many lepers do I have in here? I ain't trying to, yeah. These lepers, put your hand up. These unclean folks, they went in, and the Bible, let me read it to you. The Bible says, watch this, because this is what happens when we come out of the world and we go into the tent. What happens is, the Bible says in verse number 8, and when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and they ate and they drank, and they carried from it silver and gold. If I was still preaching, I'd preach right here. He said, and clothing, they found clothing there, and they went and they hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there, and they went and hid it also. They were in desperation. When they were in desperation, they put their faith in God. When they put their faith in God, they discovered something. They discovered that when you put your faith in God, God will bless you as a result of that. Yes, he does. He says, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. That those who come to him must know that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. I thought I had some Bible readers in here. And God is saying to somebody in here today that when you put your faith in me, you're going to discover something. You're going to discover that I always come through. I always make a way. I always take care of those who have faith in me. So when they got there, they discovered something. Let me tell you what they discovered. First of all, they discovered refreshment. Let the church say refreshment. Yeah. They discovered refreshment. Well, what do you mean refreshment, Pastor? Because see, when they was on the outside of the camp, what happened when they were on the outside of the camp was that they were always worried about where their next meal was going to come from. Well, what happened when they was on the outside of the camp, I don't know if y'all ever had a whole lot of stress on you, but you can't sleep at night. And this ain't for everybody, because I know none of y'all don't have no stress. But when you got a lot of weight on you, you sleep, but you don't rest. And so watch this now. When they was outside the tent, they had to deal with all of their own cares and all of their own situation. They had to battle depression, and they had to battle all these different things. But when they got inside the camp, they discovered that this relationship inside the tent with Jesus produces some refreshment. And there's some of you in here today can bear witness to that, that when you gave your life to Jesus, it's not like you didn't have no problems, but I had refreshment in the midst of my problems, that I had peace in the midst of my confusion. I had joy in the midst of the sorrow that I had to go through. Because when you give your life to Jesus, he gives you refreshment. They discovered refreshment. Not only did they discover refreshment, but they also discovered raiment, clothing. Watch this. They discovered clothing. That's important because understand, they had leprosy. And when you have leprosy, it's a skin disease, Ellis. And what happens when it's a skin disease, and it itches sometimes, you got to scratch your itch. But when they came to Jesus gave them covering. That now you can't judge me no more by what's underneath because I have a covering of the blood. What can wash me whiter than snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so while everybody else could see there what they're dealing with and what they're struggling with, now that they're in the tent, they can cover up. And I want to let you know, when you give your life to Jesus, there's a covering that he gives you. There's a protection that he gives you, that they can't judge you by what you used to be anymore. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I got covering now. And so now when God see me, he don't see my flaky skin, but he see the blood of Jesus that's covering my life. I don't know about y'all, but I thank God for my covering. Oh, yeah, don't look at me like that, like you ain't got an itch sometime. Yeah, baby, all of us got an itch. And when that thing start getting bad, you got to start scratching it. But Jesus is saying, when you come to me, I'm going to help you manage that thing. I'm going to help you get cured. I'm going to help you get sanctified. I'm going to help you get filled so that you can be whole again.
We are encouraged that you were blessed by this word as ministered by Pastor Dennis Hebert, Senior Pastor and Teacher of the Beacon Light Baptist Church of Hammond, Louisiana. Here at DRH Ministries, we want to thank you for tuning in, and we want to invite you to share with us whenever you're in the area. We're conveniently located at 500 East Hanson Avenue, Hammond, Louisiana, 70403. Our Sunday worship services are offered at 7:30 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Feel free to also join us for our weekly pastoral Bible study each Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon and 7 o'clock p.m. For more information, visit our website at www.beaconlightofhammond.org. DRH Ministries, empowering you to live in victory.